Let's open our Bibles to Galatians chapter 5. We are continuing our study of the fruit of the Spirit, and I like to begin each of these studies by reading our text, Galatians chapter 5, verses 22 and 23. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such, there is no law. Have you ever thought to be thankful to God for living in the time in which you live? We are living in a great time. I know that there is much bad happening in the world, and there's a lot of complaints that we could make if we would like, but technology really is a great thing. And because of advancements in technology, we live in a world where we can get just about anything that we want right now. Sometimes we take that for granted. If we would just think back a little bit, remember, we didn't always have it that easy. I remember when Isaac was born, I wanted to get his picture to my grandparents as quickly as possible. He was the first great-grandson to have the Rogers name. And so I wanted my grandfather to see that his great-grandson bearing his name was born. And so after he was born, I went and took a few pictures of him. And then I rushed to the photo place and had those developed. You remember that? Had those pictures developed in an hour. And that was really a big thing then. And then I took those pictures to the post office, paid what was at the time too much money to have those pictures overnighted to my grandparents in Oklahoma. And overnight means that in a couple of days, they got those pictures and they were able to see their great-grandson. Today, we take a picture on our phone, push a couple of buttons, and it's all over the world in a matter of seconds. And if that's not good enough, we can FaceTime. Forget a picture, we'll do a live video, right? I remember also when I was even younger than that, if there was a show coming on that I wanted to have to watch any time I wanted to, we would have to record it on a video cassette. And so I'd get that tape, and I'd put it in the VCR, and you could program it if you wanted to, but we didn't program our VCRs. That 12 was always flashing, right? And so we didn't program them. So instead, what I'd do is I'd wait until the show was coming on, make sure it was on the right channel, and hit the record button. And after it was over, I'd hit stop, and I'd have that show. Now I can watch those same shows at the click of a button. And if I want to record it, I can download a half-hour episode in seconds, and I've got it as long as I want it on my phone or on my device. Technology today has conditioned us to be impatient. We can get things instantly, we can get things now, and we've conditioned ourselves that way. Part of the fruit of the Spirit is the development of long-suffering or patience, depending on your translation. And this really is a hard sell for us, isn't it? Because here's the world telling us, you can have whatever you want, you can have it right now, and we open up the Bible, and the Bible says, slow down and learn some patience. Why bother with that? So as we're looking at the fruit of the Spirit, and we're looking today at long-suffering, let's look at the Bible's argument for why you and I need to develop the fruit of patience, why we need to put on long-suffering. If we spend any time in the Bible at all, we're going to learn. Let me back up, and let's talk about, see, I got impatient here. Let me talk about the word that is translated long-suffering. Long-suffering is translated from the Greek word makrothumos. Makrothumos, I'm not a Greek scholar by any means, but for some reason this Greek word stays in my memory. This Greek word macrothumos means patience, endurance, steadfastness, perseverance. Perhaps the reason I remember this word is because it is a compound word. The first part of macrothumos, macro means long. You just think about it. If something is micro, it is small. If it is macro, it is big, it is large. So macro means big or long. And then thumos is the Greek word for anger or for wrath or for temper. Literally, the word means long-tempered. Or, the way I remember it, you've heard people described as having a short fuse. It doesn't take much to make them blow up. Macrothumos is just the opposite. Macrothumos is that long fuse person, is that person that can endure a lot before they blow up. And the scriptures say that's what you and I need to be. You and I need to develop that. Again, that's a hard sell because we live in a world where we're catered to instantly. So when we turn to the scriptures and they say we need to develop this long temper, we need to develop patience, why is that? Well, if we spend any time in the Bible at all, we're going to learn about God. And we learn that among His many praiseworthy attributes is the fact that our God is long-suffering. He is patient. In Psalm 103 and at verse 8, given a list of things for which God is praiseworthy, verse 8 says, "The Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger, and abounding in mercy." Slow to anger. That fuse that God has burns a long time before it blows up. Why is God slow to anger regarding His people? If you look down a few verses in this psalm, verses 13 and 14, "As a father pities his children, so the Lord pities those who fear Him. For He knows our frame. He remembers that we are dust." Why is God long-suffering with us? Why is God patient with us? Number one, because He loves us as a father loves his children. Number two, because He knows us. That's what it means. He knows our frame. He remembers that we are dust. God knows what our limitations are. He knows what our weaknesses are. He knows where it is that we're going to stumble. And so knowing us and loving us, God is patient with us. God is patient with all of mankind. In the book of 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 20, Peter talks about God during the days of Noah, during the time of the flood. And it says, "Who formerly were disobedient, when once the divine long-suffering waited in the days of Noah, while the ark was being prepared, in which a few, that is, eight souls, were saved through water." As we think back about the account of the flood, and we remember there that man had become so evil so quickly. I mean, we're in Genesis 6. And mankind has already gotten so bad that God is ready to wipe them out. Genesis chapter 6 and verse 6 says that God is sorry that He made man and that He was grieved with man's sin. And so here comes the flood. And we think, well, that is drastic. That is quite an act that God does to punish sin. But then Peter reminds us that actually that was an expression of God's divine long-suffering. God waited to bring that patience. Why did He wait? Did He wait so that Noah could build the ark? Well, yes, Noah had to be given time to construct the ark, but that's not the only reason God was waiting. We read in 2 Peter chapter 2 and at verse 5, here, talking about the same event, that is the global flood, "and did not spare the ancient world, but saved Noah, one of eight people, a preacher of righteousness." What was Noah doing as he was building that ark? He was preaching. No doubt he was preaching before, but he was preaching while he was doing it. God was giving man every opportunity to repent. Every opportunity, and God is still patient. He is still patient with sinners today. 2 Peter 3 and at verse 9, "The Lord is not slack concerning His promise, as some count slackness, but is long-suffering toward us. There's that macrothumos. There's that word. Long-suffering toward us, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. So, as we're talking about long-suffering, we're learning about patience. One thing we notice is that God the Father is long-suffering. He is patient. But as we read and study the Scriptures, we see also that God the Son, Jesus, is long-suffering. Jesus is patient. If you take a look at the time that Jesus spent training the 12, and we're doing some of that in our 10 o'clock Bible class here on Sunday mornings as we're studying the Gospel of Luke. We're looking at the life of Christ, but we're also looking at the time that he spends with the 12, training the 12. I want to suggest to you that the time that Jesus spends training the 12 apostles, Jesus is putting forth a clinic on patience and long-suffering as he's training the 12. Let's take a look at just a few instances, a few of the episodes, and we won't take the time to read all of these verses. Time will not allow it in our hour this hour, but in Matthew chapter 14, after Jesus fed the 5,000, he sent the apostles across the Sea of Galilee. He stayed behind and prayed, and they encountered a storm. And they had spent the whole night rowing, trying to make it through that storm. And Jesus came walking to them on the water. In Matthew chapter 14 and at verse 25, "Now in the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went to them walking on the sea. And when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying, 'It is a ghost.' And they cried out for fear. But immediately Jesus spoke to them, saying, 'Be of good cheer, it is I, do not be afraid.' And Peter answered him and said, 'Lord, if it is you, command me to come to you on the water.'" What do you mean, "if it is me"? Jesus could have addressed that "if" right there if he wanted to. Instead, what does he do? He says, "Come." And Peter steps out and he walks on the water until he stops and looks at what he's doing and he begins to sink. And he cries out to the Lord, "Lord, save me." And immediately Jesus stretched out his hand and caught him. Jesus saved him first and then rebuked. But Jesus was patient with Peter. He was patient with him. In Luke chapter 9, we're going to get there very soon in our study in the Gospel of Luke. In Luke chapter 9, Jesus and the 12 are making their way to Jerusalem, and they have to go through Samaria, and they come to a Samaritan village, and the Samaritans, who don't have anything to do with the Jews, realize, okay, this Jew, This rabbi, this teacher, and his disciples are trying to make their way to Jerusalem, and they just want to pass through our village. And we're not going to let him. We're not going to let him. We're not going to let him pass through and eat our food and drink our water. That's not going to happen. And so James and John, the sons of thunder, as Jesus called them, said, "Let's destroy this village." And Jesus rebuked them. Said, "You don't understand what we're about." He rebuked them, and they went another way. In Luke chapter 22, as Jesus and the apostles are in the upper room on the night that he's betrayed, Luke is the gospel writer that tells us that on this occasion, as they're about to partake of the Passover, that the 12 were once again disputing among themselves about which one of them should be considered the greatest. Now, they'd already done this numerous times. By this time, that they've already had this dispute numerous times. Jesus has already brought the little child and put it in front of them and said, "Unless you humble yourselves to this child, you'll not enter the kingdom." He's already dealt with James and John bringing their mother and asking for a place of prominence in the kingdom. He's already dealt with this. Here he is with so much on his mind and so much on his heart. He could have very easily said, "You know what? Forget it." But he didn't. Instead, John's account tells us that he got up from the table, he dressed like a slave, and he went around and washed their feet. And he left them one more lesson, one more illustration about what true greatness in the kingdom was all about. The Apostle Paul says that he experienced the long suffering of Jesus. Turn with me to the book of 1 Timothy. I want you to see these verses. In 1 Timothy chapter 1, 1 Timothy chapter 1 and at verse 12, Paul says, "And I thank Christ Jesus our Lord, who has enabled me because he counted me faithful, putting me into the ministry." He's giving thanks to Christ for doing for him what he has done. He says, "This is especially true considering who I was before. I was formerly a blasphemer, a persecutor, and an insolent man. But I obtained mercy. The grace of our Lord was exceedingly abundant with faith and love which are in Christ Jesus. This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptance, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. However, for this reason I obtained mercy, that in me first Jesus Christ might show all long-suffering." There's our word. "Jesus might show all long-suffering as a pattern to those who are going to believe on him for everlasting life." You know what the conversion of Paul tells us and teaches us today? Is that if there is any interest at all on the part of any individual in making their life right with God, Jesus says, "Come on, let's do it." Jesus will be patient and long-suffering with us if we are willing to try to come to God through him. And that promise is for us today as much as it was for Paul 2,000 years ago. What do we learn? We learn that God the Father is long-suffering. We learn that God the Son is long-suffering. So it shouldn't be any surprise that God the Spirit is long-suffering as well. And as we are learning from the Spirit, as we are imbibing in the words that are given by the Spirit, walking in the Spirit, we will develop, among other things, the fruit of long-suffering in our lives. God the Father is long-suffering. God the Son is long-suffering. You and I have to be long-suffering. We must be long-suffering. And again, this is a hard sell in our society today. Because in our society today, if somebody doesn't deliver, we'll find someone else who can. If someone doesn't give us what we need, what we're going to pay them for, if they don't render the service, if they don't perform, if they don't do what they advertise they're going to do, we'll go to a competitor. We're not going to be patient with them. That's what society tells us to do, but the Bible gives us numerous reasons that we cannot be impatient. Numerous reasons why we must develop patience in our lives today. And again, we're going to look at these quickly. First, we must be long-suffering. We must be patient if we're going to gain our soul. Now, the context of Luke 21, verse 19, is the destruction of Jerusalem. But yet, the principle set forth is true. In your patience, possess ye your souls. We will possess our souls. We'll win our souls if we learn to be patient, not if we practice impatience. We need patience in order to endure hardships that come in our lives. Romans chapter 12 and verse 12, rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation. That word patient is makrothumos. Patient in tribulation. If we're not patient, we're not going to endure those tribulations, and our faith is going to be gone. We must be patient to wait on the Lord. Romans chapter 8 and verse 25. But if we hope for what we do not see, we eagerly wait for it with perseverance. Makrothumos is the word there, I believe. With perseverance, with patience, we have to wait on the Lord. How many times have we heard that we're on the Lord's timetable, he's not on ours? We've got to wait on the Lord. We must have patience if we're going to wait on the Lord. We have to have patience to produce fruit. In Luke chapter 8 and verse 15, this is Luke's account of the parable of the sower. And it's Luke alone that, in discussing, describing that good ground The good and honest heart bears forth fruit, Luke alone says, with patience. So if we're going to bear fruit, the fruit of the Spirit, the fruit of spiritual growth, the fruit of winning souls, whatever fruit it is we're going to bear, we have to have patience. We have to have patience in order to bear that fruit. We have to have patience to deal properly with our brethren. And I do want to spend a moment looking at this verse. Turn with me to Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4, and let's look at verses 1 and 2. Ephesians chapter 4, verses 1 and 2. Again, we're looking at long-suffering, the fact that you and I are expected to develop long-suffering. We need this to deal properly with our brethren. I, therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you to walk worthy of the calling with which you were called, with all, and notice here some characteristics, with all lowliness, there's humility, there's meekness, with all lowliness and gentleness. Gentleness is another part of the fruit of the Spirit. We'll talk about that in a few weeks. With long suffering, makrothumos, there's our word we're looking at, bearing with one another in love. You see, when it comes to dealing with businesses, when it comes to dealing with the things of the world, we can afford to be impatient if we want. If a dry cleaner's not getting the job done in a timely manner, there's plenty others down the street. We can go to another one. We don't get good service at a restaurant. We don't get good service here or there. We can go somewhere else. We can cast that business aside. We can go somewhere else. Our brethren are not disposable like that. We can't do that with our brethren. When our brethren let us down, and guess what? Our brethren are going to let us down. How do we know that? Well, God remembers that we are dust. We need to remember that as well. We're going to let each other down from time to time. And when we do, it's not the time to say, you know what, I've got no use for you anymore. Just stay over there. No, we have to be long-suffering with one another. We have to bear with one another, and we have to forgive one another. If we can't do that in the family of God, we're not going to be in the family of God. When it all comes to an end, we're going to be on the outside looking in. So we've got to learn to be long-suffering with our brethren. One final thing, we've got to learn to be long-suffering if we're going to save any lost souls. In the book of 2 Timothy at chapter 2 and verse 24, 2 Timothy 2 verse 24, and a servant of the Lord must not quarrel, but be patient, be gentle to all, able to teach, patient. Makrothumos. We have to be patient. And you look at the next two verses. It's about correcting those in opposition. It's about rescuing those who are in the trap of error. We have to be long-suffering and studying with people and trying to convert those who are lost. And we have to be patient and going to brethren who are in error and brethren who are in sin and patiently bring them back into the fold. Why do we need patience? The world would say, you don't need patience. If they can't do it fast enough, we can. But that's not the way it works in the kingdom. That's not the way it works with God. God is long-suffering. Deity is long-suffering. And if we're going to walk in the Spirit, we're going to develop that characteristic in our lives as well. As we look at the fruit of the Spirit, brethren, I believe that long-suffering may be one of the most difficult of these virtues and characteristics for us to adopt and to develop in our daily lives. But with the help of the Holy Spirit, we can and we will. One more thing I want you to think about. As we're thinking about the need to develop long-suffering, we think about the fact that we need to learn to be patient and we need to develop this virtue in our lives and produce this fruit in our lives. I want you to remember this. God is willing to be long-suffering with us as we are learning to be long-suffering with others. So let's look to God as our example. Let's be thankful for his long-suffering. Brethren, let's pray. Our Father in heaven, we are so thankful that you are long-suffering with us. We're thankful that you are patient, that you do not give us what we deserve at the moment, but that with your mercy and your goodness, you are long-suffering with us. You allow us to learn, allow us to see, allow us to repent, and make our lives right with you. We pray that you would help us to see the need for long-suffering in our lives, and that we would cooperate with you as we face experiences in our lives that would bring out these characteristics of long-suffering and patience. We pray that you would help us to make ourselves more and more in your image and to bear the fruit of the Spirit in our lives today, even in this chaotic and hectic world in which we live. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. We're now dismissed to our Bible classes.